2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is divided up into three sections. This morning we're going to take the first section, verses 1 through 6, in which Paul goes back to chapter 3, actually, and describes about this ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He talked about his ministry. How he has presented the fact, he questions whether it has come to the point in their relationship that he needs letters of commendation to them or even from them to prove his ministry. He said, "You are the fruit of our ministry. You are the letter, not written on stone tablets, but on the tablets of the heart. It's Christ's work in you, ministering to you and in you, that is proof of our ministry." Then he went on in chapter 3 to talk about the sufficiency, that his sufficiency is from God, not from man. Then at the end of chapter 3 last week, that his ministry and the ministry of Christ through his word is permanent, not like Moses, who talked with God on the mountain and his face was aglow because of the glory of God. Moses had to wear a veil over his face so that when he came down off the mountain to speak to the people would not see his face stop glowing. There are many people that teach that he wore the veil so people wouldn't see his face glowing because of the glory of God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches so that they wouldn't see the glory fading away and get discouraged. The law and the old covenant is temporary. It is fading away. But the ministry of God's Spirit is permanent. It is eternal. Never fades. Verse 17 of chapter 3 is very important. It says, "The Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." When God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, comes into a person's heart, they are set free. It's permanent and never fades away. So now in chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, Paul goes back to his opening remarks. It's almost as if all of chapter 3 he started off to talk about the ministry, and now he kind of made a parenthesis there to discuss some things as he went off in the bush country. And now he's back on the main road again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. "On account of this," some English translations say "therefore," but it's literally the preposition dia, "on account of this, having this ministry, according as we receive mercy, we do not faint. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, neither falsifying the word of God, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of man before God. And if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden in the ones who are being destroyed, in whom the God of this age," speaking of Satan, "blinded the thoughts of the unbelieving." King James says blinded the minds, but it's literally the noema, the perceptive processes. Satan has blinded the perceptive processes of the unbelieving, of the ones who have refused the persuasion of God, for the purpose that the illumination of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine to them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, but ourselves servants of you on account of Jesus. Because the God who has spoken light to shine out of darkness, who shone or has shined in our hearts for the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Having this ministry, Paul says, we do not faint. And first of all, he has a little disclaimer in there, as he does in all of his writings about ministry. He says, having this ministry as we have received mercy. The only way one can be called in service to Christ is by the mercy of God. God doesn't choose the best from the worst. He chooses the worst from the best and has mercy on them so that they go out and they are a messenger of the mercy and goodness and grace of God. Having this ministry, we do not faint to give out, lose heart. But what he has done, verse 2, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. How did he do that? Interesting. First of all, in verse 2, by not walking in craftiness, participle describing the manner in which he renounced the hidden things of darkness. Not walking in craftiness. Now, the word crafty in Greek means to work all things or to work anything for the purpose of God. You might think, well, that sounds like something you're supposed to do. In other words, the end justifies the means. We do everything humanly possible with all of our programs and systems to entice people to come to Christ. Sounds like it's something good for Christians to do, except it's called craftiness. It's called doing God's work for Him. He did not work everything possible to get people to come to Christ. He did not use human ability or human wisdom, as he has said in other places, to entice people to come to Jesus Christ. Secondly, not falsifying the Word of God. The word falsifying means unmixed. In fact, it's a pharmaceutical term of not mixing drugs together. He was saying, I do not compromise with the Word of God. I don't mix what the Word of God says with the things of the world or the things of man. Some English translators translated adulterating. It's committing adultery against God's Word to mix the truth of God's Word and compromise it with any craftiness that we might do to try to get people to believe. We have renounced the hidden things of shame by not doing two things. No craftiness, not falsifying the Word of God. But the third thing, what he did do in renouncing the hidden things of shame, it is by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of man before God. Oh, what a verse. Paul says, I just told the truth. I allowed the truth of God to manifest to people in their hearts before God what their hearts were really like. I didn't try to use any methods, didn't try to use any programs, just by manifesting the truth, letting the light of the truth shine. Just proclaiming the truth in Jesus Christ and then commending every conscience of man himself to their conscience. That is to say, once he provided the truth, he just said, between you and God now. We commend what we say to your conscience. It's between you and God. Not using any methods, striving, not twisting or compromising with the truth, just told the truth. And then just said, take it to the Lord. You don't think it's the truth? Go take it to God. What is your conscience telling you when you hear the truth? Are you fighting it? That's between you and God. Paul says, I only have one motive, as to manifest the truth of Jesus Christ. Then commending ourselves to the conscience of every man, just saying, okay, now it's between you and God. It's in your conscience. Don't argue with me about the truth. Take it before God and see if it isn't the truth or not. You've got to get it straightened out. In verses 3 through 6, Paul says that he does not faint because there are two ways to respond to his ministry. Two ways to respond to this ministry. He says in verse 3, if our ministry is hidden, it is hidden in the ones who are being destroyed. Isn't that interesting? Not who will be, but who are in the process of being destroyed. How can the truth of the gospel be hidden in a person's heart? Verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the perceptive processes of the unbelieving. Now, taking it backwards, just taking this word, these words, the word unbelieving is in participial form, which means they are in a process of refusing the persuasion of God. They are without persuasion. So once God's Spirit comes and ministers the truth to someone's heart, if their heart reaction is just to ignore it, bypass it, push it aside, don't let it get too close, don't let it be too personal. Once a person refuses, comes in contact with the persuasion of God's Spirit, and then starts to refuse or reject or be passive towards the Spirit of God, the God of this age, who is said to be Satan, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he's the prince and power of the air. He's been given this realm spiritually to influence people's hearts. For people who refuse the persuasion of God, Satan is allowed to blind their perceptive processes. It says at the end of verse 4, so that the knowledge or the illumination of the gospel of the glory of God should not beam in them. See the word shine? It's algasma. Algazo has the verb form, and it means a ray of light, like from a flashlight. What has happened is that once a person begins to reject, resist, ignore, be passive towards the truth of Christ, their heart grows to a callous condition. And the God of this age is allowed to come and blind their perceptive processes so that when God shines His light, the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God is to shine or beam to them, that they are not able to respond. It is interesting, it's an interaction. Man's free will process first starts it off by responding to the truth. Am I going to ignore it? Am I going to resist it? Am I going to be passive? Or am I going to respond with the truth that God is ministering to me? Am I going to respond and receive Christ? If I don't respond to receive Christ, a condition begins to grow in the heart. And Paul is actually saying, if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are being destroyed. It has nothing to do with Paul's program or the motive to try to reach people. Paul says, we just minister to people. It's the gospel of life to those who are living and it's death to those who are dying. I don't have to use any methods. I don't have to use any programs. I don't have to compromise and water down the truth of God's Word. It's the manifestation of the truth of Christ. And we just commend it to people's hearts, their consciences. Take it to God. Between you and God now. So he says, if our gospel is hidden, it's not because there's an insufficiency in our ministry. And please look at the process here. Is that if a person is not believing, it's not because the method doesn't work or that we're not doing our job. And if Satan blinds a person's heart to not be able to receive the truth. You can't reach them with your logic or with your persuasion. Can't even pay them. I've been in churches where they pay you to go to church. $20 for every new visitor you bring to church. Pack a pew. If you pack your pew, you get a free family Bible or yo-yo with a scripture on it or something. Paul says there's only one way the gospel of Jesus Christ can be hidden, is if Satan blinds a person's heart because they refuse to be persuaded. They keep saying no. They keep ignoring it. They keep avoiding it. Verse 5, one of the great scriptures in the Bible. We are not preaching ourselves. We are preaching Christ Jesus as Lord. You'll notice in the original text, even though the word as is in italics, it's Christ Jesus Lord. That's his title. Paul didn't say that he preached church or denominations or programs. He preached Jesus Christ, Lord, period. And just submitted that to every person's conscience. Because this is spiritual. So the first reaction, verse 3, to the ministry of Christ, is that Satan blinds people so that the truth of the light cannot shine upon them because they have been rejecting the persuasion of God's Spirit and the truth. And Paul says that truth that we proclaim is that Christ Jesus, the Lord. That's who we proclaim. We don't have a denomination, we don't have a church, we don't have a way. We don't have an organization, it's just Jesus Christ. The second way of response, verse 6. Because the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, making reference to creation in Genesis chapter 1, has shined or shone in our hearts the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The only way I stand before you this morning saved is because somehow, in some way, God illuminated my heart. He shined His light in my heart and illuminated me with the knowledge of the truth of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. That's all I know. I can't even explain to you why I responded the way I do. God just illuminated my heart and my heart responded. I knew I needed Jesus Christ. I knew. I just had that awareness, that persuasion, that religion was wrong. I had always rebelled against religion. But Jesus Christ is right. His Word is right. We as people, we mess things up by making religion out of it. It was in someone's home. Going to the Bible study in someone's home. I had rejected the whole church thing. Sat in church for a while and thought, this is going nowhere for me. In someone's home for a Bible study for 9 months before I realized, nobody even asked me, do you know Jesus? Would you like to receive Christ? Are you saved? Nobody even asked me a question. It was as if, and this is hindsight, it's as if they were just there studying the truth, commending the truth to my conscience. You've heard the truth. It's between you and God. See, if they had pestered me, it would have been just like all the other religious people, and I would have gotten out of there. Even though they gave free donuts and coffee. But God shined in my heart with the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God, and that was in the person of Jesus Christ. And for some reason, my heart responded to the light, to come to the light. I wanted more. I wanted to know more. And one evening, as I was walking across my bedroom floor, Spirit of God just came upon me. Wasn't even thinking about the Lord. Wasn't praying. I didn't pray a sinner's prayer. The Spirit of God just came on. I know exactly who He was when He came into my heart, when He saved me. Paul says there's those of us who, like Paul, the same God who said, "Let there be light," at creation, and there was light, He said to my heart, "Let there be light." And there was light. And my heart responded. But the Bible also tells us that God will also come and persuade people, that persuasion, and they will reject the persuasion of God's Spirit. And Satan will be allowed to veil their heart, their thought processes, so that they will not be able to have God's light shine on them. Not that God is not able to, but that's how God chose the free will process. Paul says, do we really need commendations from you, letters of recommendation? He says, our ministry is the gospel of life to those who are living and death to those who are dying. God's word will not return void. It will accomplish everything, all of its purposes. If a person has a heart to reject Christ, the more you tell them of the truth of the gospel, the more they're going to become firm in rejecting Christ. They're going to become hardened. But if a person's heart has a heart for Christ, and even though they fight against it, God will break them. God will break through. And they will receive Christ. But it's all because of the power and design of God, not the design of man. Nowhere in Paul's writings does he proclaim that he used any kind of method other than preaching the truth of the gospel. Period. Hey, if people don't respond to the truth of Christ, how can I talk them into it? How can I get them to believe? I can't. Next week, verses 7 through 15, he answers the question about sufficiency in chapter 3. God is our sufficiency. It's not a cop-out to say, it's up to God to do it, it's not up to me, so I don't have to do anything. No. My sufficiency is of God. I trust God to lead me, to speak to the ones that He wants spoken to, and to minister to the ones that He wants ministered to, and to share, and to trust that the truth of the things of Jesus Christ, God's going to work that out in their conscience, whether they're going to receive Him or reject Him. That's confidence. That's not an escape. But to think that Jesus has left all of His work up to me to do before He comes back, that's an awesome responsibility. So we go, seeking to more intimately develop our personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that people will see Christ in me and receive Christ from me. That's all I can hope for. I can't do a thing for anybody. I couldn't do anything for myself. You know? I couldn't help myself. How can I help anybody else? I can tell them about the one who has had mercy and compassion on me. That's all I can do. Preach, tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them the truth. Let the truth manifest to their heart whether they want Christ or not. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Not only does God's Spirit free people from the bondage of sin and self, but it frees the believer too. Because our sufficiency is of God, not of man. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for these few minutes together. Thank You for this brother, Paul, that You raised up, that You had mercy on to put him into the ministry. As he shares from his heart to define the ministry, we have this ministry in earthen vessels. You are the potter and we are the clay. May we seek you and to learn of you. And seek for others to see you in us and not do your work for you. Help us to walk in the liberty and in the freedom that you have bestowed upon us, the freedom that's in your Spirit. Commending ourselves to the conscience of every man for the sake of Christ. Continue to change us and transform us so that others will see that change and they will know it's not religion, it's personal, from the living Savior himself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.